world, meet the iPad.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson in for Steve Chiatakis. Apple's iPad is launching overseas today, and shoppers from Tokyo to Madrid have been lining up. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is skipping the line so he can be with us live from London. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
So how is the iPad being received where you are?
Pretty well, judging by Apple's flagship store in central London this morning. Hundreds were there first thing to buy an iPad, mostly teenagers. One of them was quoted saying, "The iPad is not something I need, but it's something I want."
And we know the international launch of the iPad was delayed due to high demand here in the U.S. What has that done to the enthusiasm?
Well, I think it has built up a mood of anticipation, certainly among Apple fans. And this has played into Apple's strategy, according to technology analyst Peter Buckley. The company has developed a narrative around its products.
I think the really clever thing that Apple do is with each new line of products they bring out, they're kind of preparing us for what they've got up their sleeves next. That's something I think Microsoft have never really been able to do, because Microsoft has always been about Windows.
And Microsoft's rivalry with Apple has had a lot of attention here this week after Apple's total stock market value pulled ahead of Microsoft's. Apple does seem to be on a roll, but the iPad is going to be facing some stiff competition here, particularly from smaller tablets. One of the kids here looking at the iPad this morning said, "I wouldn't want to be seen carrying that on the bus. I'd feel an idiot. It's too big."
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
And here at home today, President Obama heads to the Gulf Coast for his second visit since the BP oil spill began. Meantime, BP says it's still not sure how successful that top kill tactic has been in plugging the leak. And let's check global markets. Stocks in Europe up a little less than 1% at this hour. Asian markets closed up a little more than 1%. Quite a day for the Dow yesterday. It finished up 284 points to close at 10,258. That was just the latest big swing in the stock market this week. Fears about Europe's debt crisis have investors debating whether we're in for a double-dip recession. Robert Reich joins us now from Berkeley. He was the labor secretary during the Clinton administration. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, Mr. Secretary, how badly is the economic recovery here in the U.S. endangered by Europe's credit problems?
Well, it's not all that directly endangered. In fact, the tumult in Europe is actually causing world investors to put their money into dollars for safety, which is lowering our costs of borrowing. Home mortgage rates, for example, Jeremy, are dropping. Mm-hmm. And in effect, Europe is doing more to help distressed homeowners in America than our own government is doing.
So you think the economy, the recovery there, is on track?
I didn't say that. In fact, so far, the recovery is rather disappointing. Growth in the first quarter depended almost entirely on companies getting their inventories back to normal and government stimulus that continued. Uh-huh. But if you take these away, we'd have no growth at all in the first quarter. What's particularly worrying, Jeremy, is that all these boosts are temporary.
But employment is up, so don't consumers have more money to spend?
Well, they have a bit more, but not nearly enough to get the economy moving. Now, here's the problem. Net new employment is still very small relative to the number of Americans out of work. And we continue to see five job seekers for every job opening. Record percent of Americans have been out of work for 6 months or longer. But, you know, even more troubling, hourly wages actually dropped in the first quarter. Employers just have no incentive to pay more because so many people are looking for work. The problem is there's no way to sustain a recovery when consumer spending is heading south.
Okay, so what's the prognosis, doctor?
An anemic recovery. Even if the Fed keeps interest rates near zero, which I expect it will, there's just not enough boost to get us out of the gravitational pull of the Great Recession. In fact, I'd say we have a 30% probability of falling back into recession. Mm. Look, I'm sorry I can't give you a rosier scenario.
Well, we'll have you back anyway. Secretary Robert Reich, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business. By Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to present, demonstrate, and train online. More at GoToMeeting.com/market. And by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com.
Arizona's new law targeting undocumented immigrants hasn't taken effect yet, but tomorrow protesters will take to the streets in Arizona and 22 other states. Some of those marching will be union leaders. As Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports, labor has a vested interest in the debate.
Anyone working in the U.S. needs at least a visa to do so legally, but there's no such requirement for joining a union.
For unions to organize workers, they can't ask to see their green card first. They seek to organize everyone in a workplace, whatever their immigration status.
That's Harley Shaken, a professor at UC Berkeley specializing in labor issues.
Many of these industries that have a lot of immigrant workers are vital for the growth of unions.
Labor leaders voice other motivations. Ana Avendano with the AFL-CIO says the new law could have a chilling effect on worker complaints.
Our employment laws rely on workers to file complaints with the government to expose dangerous workplaces, non-payment of wages, discrimination, and other violations of law.
She says the Arizona law could be used to bust unions. When faced with a picket line, Avendano says employers could just call the sheriff and have their problems deported. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, we know you're busy, so Marketplace's Bill Radke is in the studio with me now with all the week's business news in a Marketplace Minute.
Jeremy, I hope BP will have the skill to use Top Kill to stop the spill that fills the gills and kills the krill. Still on Capitol Hill, the thrill of the drill is nil. And as predicted, drilling's restricted. The drug's more expensive, and we're still addicted. Euro debt has yet to vanish. First the Greeks, and now the Spanish. Reviews are out for Sex and the City, and critics agree the film is underwhelming. The biggest tech firm the world has got used to be Microsoft, now it is not. Apple surpassed it, but Google's amassed the unsurpassed vastness to blast right past it. Who knows who the Google killer will be, but you'll hear it at marketplace.org.
The best part of the week. Thanks, Bill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.